You are listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Today I wanted to talk about a student group at the University of Iowa who was recently deregistered by the Dean of Students there because they had the audacity to expect that their leaders embraced what the group believes. I know that is absolutely shocking. What's shocking is that the Dean of Students actually expected this group, in order to be re-registered, to change what they believe. To talk about this case, because this University of Iowa was just recently sued by this group. Just this week, a lawsuit was filed. As well as religious liberty abuses on college campuses in general, I had a conversation with Daniel Blomberg, who's legal counsel at Beckett, the group that's representing business leaders in Christ at the University of Iowa. And Daniel's actually one of the co-counsels on this case, to talk about the case as well as what else he's seeing on college campuses that is of concern to him. Before we get to that conversation, first a word from our sponsors.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a life insurance plan that makes sense for you, call my friend Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. That's Travis Riswold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
And we are back. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Daniel Blomberg, a legal counsel with Beckett. Hey, Daniel, thanks for talking with me. I just wanted to first ask you, just kind of run us through a timeline as far as what is going on at the University of Iowa and this group, Business Leaders in Christ.
Yeah, so, you know, the basic situation that we're facing is that you have a very small Christian group there at the university that's been established since about 2014, and they were started by a couple of business school members who wanted to integrate their faith and with their education and also with business, you know. And in the age of Harvey Weinstein, you know, it seems like that's good for everybody to right. have people who want to bring their values, their core values, their faith values into how they live their lives and operate their businesses and treat people with respect. And so actually their verse that they chose for themselves, or Bible verse, was Colossians 3:23. And they've been an important part of the campus community, a small part, but important to right. these students since that time. And, you know, found ways to serve the community and participate with the there on campus, you know, helping with after school programs for, you know, disadvantaged kids. And they had this cool thing they did a couple of years ago, and where they did, it was like a Tippy Gives Thanks drive, where they gave kids cookies and said, hey, here's an opportunity to just kind of write down something you're thankful for, stick on this board, and the whole school gets an opportunity to think about all the different ways that we have to be grateful. And so they've had a little bit of an outsized impact for a group of, you know, less than 10 kids meeting together on campus. Unfortunately, the school got a complaint from a kid who said that he'd been discriminated against on the basis of sexual orientation, and and in the selection of their leadership there at Blink. And the students were really, really clear that was not the case, that everyone is welcome to participate with the student group. They want everybody there. You know, that's kind of their mission as a Christian group. They want everybody from all backgrounds to come and participate. And they just asked that if you're going to be a leader, you know, that you, if you're going to lead the Bible studies and you're going to lead the prayer and you're going to help, you know, select the religious service projects and things like that, that you agree with the basic tenets of the faith. And unfortunately, this particular student didn't. And they had, you know, they'd really tried to reach out to him and be really gracious with him and, you know, just kind of explain, hey, this is what we disagree on, but you're still welcome. We want you to continue to be a member of our group.
Did they talk about particular doctrinal differences between them and the student? I mean, I haven't had a chance to see their statement of faith. So what was it? What was kind of the root? What was that issue between them and the student?
Yeah. So the issue that, you know, the student asked if he could volunteer as a leader, and the group was like, oh yeah, that sounds great, let's talk about it. And they sat down, you know, opened up their Bible, and we're starting to talk about spiritual leadership, right? So and the student said, oh, by the way, I think I'm gay. And
okay,
they said, wow, well, we're a small group, we don't really know what to, you know, we haven't addressed this before, but we'll think about it, we'll pray about it, let's open up our Bible and let's look at what the Bible has to say about marriage and about the sexual relationships. And so they sat there and they talked about it, and they realized they had a disagreement about what the Bible means and the Bible's authority in their lives.
Okay.
And so the student group prayed about it, and they, you know, respectfully went back to the student and said, you know, we just disagree on how to interpret Scripture. And since your job as a leader is to come in here and interpret Scripture for us, that means you're welcome to be a member, but you can't be a leader.
Okay,
because we're disagreeing on, you know, this kind of fundamental biblical authority issue. And but anyway, I mean, it's kind of the background chronologically to where things are, but it's actually not the issue right now, because, you know, the issue right now is that the school has come to the student group, Business Leaders in Christ, Blink, and they've said, if you want to stay on campus, you have to change your religious beliefs.
Oh my!
And you have to change the way you select your religious leaders. I'm not making that up. You can see the letter. it says.
Yeah, I saw.
You,
I saw
you have to make revisions, right, to your religious beliefs.
That is incredible, especially the being a public school, saying that. Just taking a step back here. They're deregistering this Blink as a student group. What is the benefit of being a registered student group?
Oh, there are about 10 or 15 different things. You know, there's all sorts, you know, you get access to campus, you get to participate in like the student organization fairs, you can get access to funding, you get access to ways to kind of advertise and put your name out there with other groups. I mean, really, for small groups like this that don't have any external finances, they're not like a fraternity or sorority that has some sort of external structure they can rely on.
Right.
This kind of thing is a death sentence, right? If you are going to not only get kicked off campus, but have, you know, the university put an official black mark beside your name, you know, the scarlet sea of Christianity, then it's going to be very, very hard for the student group to survive. And so that's the real, you know, the school is forcing these students to choose between their faith and their ability to be, you know, equal participants on this campus. And you know, these are good kids. I mean, one of them, the guy who's leading it right now, Jake Estelle, he's a member of the Iowa National Guard, right?
Okay.
You know, he's the kind of guy that serves our country. And if, I mean, golly, if we can have people serve our country, surely we can have them have their student groups too. You know, it seems like there's room enough, not just in America, but the University of Iowa, for people to have different views on all sorts of different things.
Well,
and of course they do. I mean, there's hundreds of student groups at the University of Iowa.
Right. One thing that, you know, first of all, just the concept of, you know, group expecting its their leaders to abide by, you know, a particular statement of faith and live out that statement of faith, that, or the core beliefs of that group, that is not a controversial thing. That shouldn't, it's like, duh, you know, that should be expected. And also too, I, you know, as far as their view of, their discussion with this particular student over what scripture says about marriage. I mean, you know, the scripture is not ambiguous about marriage. It's pretty black and white and with that regard. And it seems like only recently are we trying to make it gray. So it's just, yeah, this conversation that, you know, and this push to try to, you know, force folks of faith to embrace something that we see as not biblical, it's concerning, especially when you see a public institution that's publicly funded do this. So what are some of the complaints you're making in the lawsuit?
Yeah, I mean, the core ones are the ones that you'd expect, right? This is a violation of the fundamental right to free speech and to the free exercise of religion, right? And,
right.
And you know, the issue here really is, you know, at America's universities, at the University of Iowa, do we have a real commitment to a robust academic, you know, theory of academic freedom, to a robust diversity on campus, right, where the government can't come in, which is what we're talking about when state university officials come in and say, you must revise your religious beliefs and revise the way you select your religious leaders in a way that we like, right? If we're serious about academic freedom, if we're serious about real diversity on campus, then we won't do that kind of thing. We won't force people to give up their distinctiveness just to be a part of the campus community. And in fact, to its credit, the university doesn't do that for all sorts of other groups. I mean, the most obvious example is the university itself, right?
Right.
You know, here they've got a great football program, but the Hawkeyes don't have any female linemen, right, on the football
right.
team. And then they have a robust fraternity and sorority community. And those groups aren't forced to allow, you know, women into the men's group or men into the women's group. They're allowed to be who they are. And if there's, you know, the feminist union and a lot of different, you know, other religious groups that are allowed to ask that their leaders agree with their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a lot of sense, you know, agree with their missions. That makes a lot of sense. That's what it means to believe in academic diversity. That's what it means to believe in you know, real freedom of thought on campus. And that's
right.
what we should be seeing at the university and what we're not seeing. And, you know, one of the real big, you know, pernicious problems here, though, is that it's not just limited to this university.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
This is an issue that's going on nationwide. And it's kind of coming home to Iowa right now, to your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen this in California. We've seen it in Washington State. We've seen it in Missouri. We've seen it in New York. We've seen it in Georgia. You know, we've seen it nationwide. It keeps on popping up, and it keeps on being a big problem. These kids have spent hours and hours and hours and weeks and weeks and weeks just trying to have the same rights that everybody else on campus gets. And
right.
that's time that they've been having to take away from their academic studies, time that having to, you know, that poor Jake's having to take away from serving with our, you know, as a member of the military. You know, that's a lot of work that they shouldn't have to do just to be equal participants on campus.
Right. And it just first of all, where are they currently meeting if they're not allowed to meet on campus facilities?
Well, I mean, right now they're not meeting in these spaces, right? They can't
okay.
get on where everybody else can.
Okay. I'm curious, any response from the university? Since
this is a very, very hot, you know, lawsuit. It just got filed yesterday.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that university hasn't told us what they think, right?
Right.
The students have been working with the university since last spring when the complaint was filed, and there have actually been, you know, one of the prior president was hauled into an interview with three university lawyers, and she had no representation, and she was told to keep the whole thing confidential, and
oh,
she
wow.
had to make statements on the record right there in front of them, and she's got nobody there to defend her, and then they've been working with the school over the summer, and then in the fall, and actually I came out there with one of our fellow attorneys and one of the other Beckett attorneys, the lead attorney in the case, Eric Baxter, in September to meet with the school, and frankly it was a really good meeting. I mean, the university officials we met with said, oh, yeah, of course, of course. You know, if an environmental group wanted to insist that its leaders shared its views on global warming, it could do that. And if you want to insist that your leaders share your views on Christianity, you can do that. And so we walked out of that meeting. The kids, you know, the students were, they were kind of high-fiving each other, and they were smiling. It was like, ah, we're at the end of all this. And then boom, 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 three big letters right in a row where the school says no. And they pulled the rug right out from underneath these students and told them, and kicked them off campus. They've now been de-recognized for over a month.
That's just amazing how you go from a meeting like that to you know, these letters. I'm wondering, you know, what in the world has gone through. It's just mind-boggling to me that they would make these demands of these students. First of all, it seems like in what we've seen with other places, when Christianity butts up against supposed LGBT rights, you know, religious liberty gets thrown under the bus. And, you know, as you mentioned, this certainly University of Iowa is not the only place this is happening. What other types of conflicts are you seeing on campus with religious groups? And are you seeing any other religious groups other than Christians having issues?
Sure. You know, we represented a Jewish student group that was being denied the ability to put up, Hanukkah memorials last year. You know, so there are issues in other places, but the thing that we're running into a lot right now is kind of this groupthink orthodoxy that university officials have been imposing on religious student groups that don't toe the line. They don't toe the what the public universities think should be the right way of being a Christian. And, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense, and it doesn't work, particularly at a university. And what's particularly odd here is that this isn't the University of Iowa's first rodeo. They actually dealt with this issue back in 2004 with the Christian Legal Society, and they came to the right solution. They said, yeah, you have a right to select your own leaders, and we're not going to tell you that you can't. and there have been other kind of flare-ups on the campus since then, and again in 2008, where they were like, oh, we're not gonna, maybe we won't fund you guys equally with other folks, you know, other ways of kind of other bites at the inequality apple, and each time they've come back and done the right thing. But here, they've drawn a very firm line, and they've told these students that, again, you have to, I quote, you have to revise your religious beliefs in the way that they're asking here, and that's precisely what the students said they can't do. They didn't make these beliefs up.
Yeah,
and
right.
They're certainly not going to change it because a government official tells them they have to.
Right. So, to kind of wrap up here, where can people learn more about the case, and how can our listeners, what can they do to, help? Are there people at the University of Iowa they can contact about their concerns? Obviously, you can contact Board of Regents and state representatives as well.
Oh yeah, exactly. All of the above. And I would particularly recommend go to Beckett Fund or Beckett Law, sorry, BeckettLaw.org, B-E-C-K-E-T Law.org, and just search Blink, B-L-I-N-C, and that'll lead you right to the case page. It'll have all sorts of information about the case. And then the other thing I do is find ways that you can support these students. You know, they're really nice people. They didn't want to be here. They didn't want to have to do this. They've been trying as hard as they could to treat everybody with respect and just, have some space to be who they are. And it's really unfortunate that the university has taken this kind of aggressive position against, a group like this that just wants to be part of the campus. So if people can find ways to express their support to Blink, I think that'd be really helpful.
Great. Well, hey, thank you so much, Daniel, for your time. I appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Hey, take care.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that concludes today's episode of the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you happen to be listening to this podcast somewhere other than on our website, I'd encourage you to go to caffeinatedthoughts.com. Again, that's caffeinatedthoughts.com. You can Google Caffeinated Thoughts, and it'll be right at the top of your search screen. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhart. Until next time, my friends, take care.